If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 this morning and join me. Some of you have made road trips and whatnot, and some of you have even made it down through the southwest part of the state. If you are driving across most of southwest New Mexico, that region between Deming, Lordsburg, Silver City, most of that land that you see out there, miles and miles of what a lot of it looks like nothing, that land is owned by just basically a few major corporations. Thousands and thousands of acres have been bought up and purchased by large corporations. The reason is they need the water, and it's to operate the copper mines that are down in that region. There are two, three large open pit copper mines, and they process that copper and the other minerals out of those mines, and they need all the water they can get. And of course, there are also several large ranches around through the state in some places, hundreds of thousands of acres, just miles and miles. One time there was an old rancher who was taking a visitor on a ride across his place, and he said, "As far as you can see, it all belongs to me." Well, his wife was in the vehicle along with the friend, and she said, "Honey, put your glasses back on. Your head is swollen again." Well, it wasn't as far as you can see if you had good vision. Many, many years ago, there was a television commercial. A guy said, "It takes me 4 days to drive across my property in my pickup," and the other guy says, "You need a better pickup." Some of you might remember those commercials. Well, there are people in the world who own a lot. There are corporations that own a lot. There are people who seem to have great wealth and seems like everything is going their way. But nobody can top God's possessions, because He owns what? Everything. We may think we own something, but we're just temporary caretakers. We are just here for a portion of time, whereas God is eternal. He's the one who spoke it into being. Psalm 24 begins, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains," which includes us. Yep, we all belong to God. The question is, will we recognize the owner? Verse 4 and 5 include the promised blessings from the Almighty, and He promises that He will take care of those who keep clean hands and a pure heart, standing in the very presence of God. That is our ultimate goal, to be with our Heavenly Father forever. Since everything and everyone belong to God, we need to remind each other once in a while that if everything belongs to God, then summers belong to God too. And so this is the weekend when many people set as the goal, "Memorial Day weekend's coming up, we can finally get away. It's a long weekend and it'll be nice weather." Well, in the process, I just want to remind us, in all of our planning, in all of our scheduling, always remember, keep God in first place. Remember, He is our Master. He's our Creator. And so today's message may sound a little harsh, a little mean, but I want to just remind you, remember your Creator. Remember your Savior. Because summers belong to God too. I pray that each one of you have a great summer. Sally and I have just enjoyed a good week. A tiring week, but a good week. But we enjoyed it keeping God in first place. And there have been times in my past when I did not keep God in first place. And there's always a price to pay for that. The loss of the fellowship, the loss of His blessings. And I just don't want you to see that influence. Satan is doing all he can to destroy us, to separate us from the blessings God has for us. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for giving us so much. You've given us life to begin with. You've placed us in a very blessed land. We have been blessed with family, with friends, with life itself. Most of us have quite a few possessions. In some cases, more than we know what to do with. Father, thank you. Thank you for those who have given their lives to help preserve the freedoms of this land. I didn't have to pay that price, but many did. Thank you for those people. Thank you for the wisdom, the insight of our leaders who established this land so that we can enjoy all the freedoms and the blessings and the goodness that we do see. But ultimately, Father, it all comes from you. So thank you for being our God. And thank you for giving us hope in a Savior, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can come into your presence because of him and through him, with him, for him, because of him, and so much more. Guide us, help us to open our minds to your word. It may not be anything I say, but let your spirit speak to hearts through your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For our opening, we had the last portion of Hebrews chapter 10 read to us as our call to worship, reminding the many people who suffered because of their commitment to Jesus Christ and those who stood by those who were being persecuted. I really have not suffered like the early Christians did. I don't know, maybe some of you have, but we still need to stand strong in God's ways. And it may cost us some suffering, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever term you want to use, whatever condition, but let's stand strong in the will of God. Let's turn now our attention to verses 19 through 31, which encourages every single one of us, directs each one of us in the will of God that we need to. How do we keep our faith in God strong? How do we walk with God faithfully? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and following. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This is serious business. We're dealing with life and death matters every single day in how we live. When we stand before God, he holds us accountable. He is keeping track, And we need to do all we can to encourage each other to walk in this faithful living, because we are in Satan's domain. He is walking this world. He's doing all he can to destroy us, to destroy our relationship with God. So we need each other. We need the encouragement from other fellow believers, wherever they're at, every single day. Looking at the scripture, I've broken it out into 3 points. I'm trying to be a good guy to whittle it down here. And so the first point I want to bring out here is that you are the possession of the living God. We've already talked about that. We've sung about it. We've read scripture about it over and over. Jesus bought us with his death on the cross. He bought us. He's the one that made us to start with, but then he paid for us again. He ransomed us from the grip of Satan. People are the result of God's creativity. We read that over and over through the scripture. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We are a bunch of dirt that God squeezed together and made into human bodies. We are here because God breathed into each one of us the breath of life. And when he says enough, what happens? The spirit of life leaves the body, and what's left? A pile of mush. We are God's creation. And so we need to recognize and honor the one who has power over us. We are made in God's image. We think, we plan, we have emotions, though not on the grand scale of our Father in heaven, the great creator. You're copyrighted. You're copyrighted by God. God made you special. Now there's a lot of people out there who are saying, well, we can make life. They're working on it, busy. The scientists are saying, we'll make life. You know what? They're stealing. Let them go out and create their own matter. Let them go out and create their own new form of life. What they're doing is borrowing from God's plan. The clones, they're using what God started to begin with. Let them go out and do their new thing without God's help. Where will they get? Nowhere. Even the very thoughts that they have come from a creative God. Let them start at zero. Where do they end? Zero. Without God, we are nothing. With God, we are children of God. Princes. We are ambassadors of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Jesus made you, then he paid for all of your sin. Made and paid for. If you have chosen to give him control of your life, you must honor him. God does not accept part-time believers. God is not there to be conveniently worshipped. He's there to be honored all the time. God cares about everything in your life. He's watching over you all the time. Scripture says, all the time. When you're sleeping, what's God busy doing? Making sure you're okay. Do you tell your heart you need to pump this many times the next minute? You need to breathe so many times in the next hour? God built into you the design to keep you functioning. And then he gives you the ability to continue on. He is our loving, concerned Heavenly Father that did marvelous things in putting us together. And then he provides everything for everyone in this whole world. He deserves all of the honor, all the gratitude for all of his blessings. Psalm 111, verse 1 and 2 said, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. When you enjoy things in life, beauty, smell, taste, touch, whatever it is, where did that all come from? It all came from God. Give Him praise. Give Him thanks. He deserves it. Glorify the Creator. God gave you His Spirit to help you, to guide you from the inside out, to help you walk in holiness. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 warns us, do not quench the Holy Spirit. We can press back the Holy Spirit. We can say, I don't want to listen right now. Now, we usually aren't that blunt about it. We usually just do our own thing. But what is that saying to the Holy Spirit? You're not important. God, you're not important. I'm going to follow my own desires. You just take the back seat right now. Sally and I just finished driving, almost 1,500 miles. Sometimes it's good when she speaks up and tells me, watch out for that car. Look out. But I don't always appreciate it when she's saying, you need to press on the gas pedal. You need to slow down. You need to do this. You need to do that. Sally's a good wife. But keep praying for her. She has a crazy husband. Sometimes he's not paying attention. But we do that to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, you know, you really don't need to be looking at that. You don't need to be listening to that. It's not helping your spiritual life. And we say, be quiet. I'm the driver. And it's not good. We need to listen to the prompting of the Spirit. Sometimes a still, small voice that God speaks to us. Listen to Him. God is here with us right now in this room. We always talk about that. We sing about it. We celebrate it. Our time of worship. But is God locked in this room? He's not locked in this room. Anytime two or three are gathered in His name, Jesus said, I'm there with them. He is always watching. Anytime you go someplace, I would encourage you, look for other believers. I just celebrate God. These two guys are on vacation. And they looked up through several churches and decided to come here. God bless you. Pray for them. Entering Air Force this next week. And 2 weeks away, you'll become of age and planning to join the Air Force. Pray for these young men giving their lives for us. I didn't have a chance to talk with others, but every one of you has an important role that God has pressed on your heart to love one another, to serve one another as if you were serving God the Father. We have great opportunities, great responsibilities, and great challenges because, again, Satan is out there doing all he can to destroy us. Whenever you're out away from where church groups are meeting, I encourage you, if you're on vacation or sick or whatever, find time to worship God wherever you're at in spite of the circumstances. God gave you that time. He deserves your worship. If you're out in the boonies, remember the boonies were made by the Creator. Plan to worship your Creator. If you're surrounded by heathens, worship the Creator. If you surrendered your life to Jesus, He is in you, just as He promised to be with all of His servants individually. So we need to honor our Savior. Jesus paid the ultimate price, giving His blood in our behalf, His precious, holy, perfect blood for corrupted sinners who keep disobeying God. Only by His grace are we saved through Jesus. So honor Jesus. Our real love for Him is shown by whether or not we will worship Him. He was willing to sacrifice for us. Are we willing to sacrifice for Him? Jesus was resurrected as the first of many brethren. He's at heaven's throne doing what? He's pleading our case before Father God every single moment of every day. Do you think He's going to be pleading for God for us if we reject Him? No, He's going to be praying, Father, I just pray that they'll wake up pretty quick before they get too far down the tube, before they're too far gone. Of course, the Lord knows our ultimate ending, but He's still praying for us. As long as we have life and breath, we have the opportunity to choose to honor Him. Christ cleansed each one of us, you and me, to be righteous every day until we leave this earth through death or Jesus comes again. One of those two things are going to happen. We're going to either drop over dead or Jesus is coming back. What are we going to do with the time? Are we going to honor the One who gave His all for us? Romans 12, 1 and 2 calls for us to actually be living sacrifices for Jesus Christ, giving Him total devotion every second of every day. To be His child, to be His ambassador, to be His representative, to be brothers and sisters of faith. Let's honor Him. Point number two is, stand firm in the will of God. Stand firm in the will of the Lord. We learn from the Bible that Jesus met with congregations every week, and quite often the congregations followed Him, so they were with Him every single day. But He was faithful to join in the worship, even though there were a lot of corrupt leaders of the time. The Apostle Paul did the same thing, gathering together with fellow believers. Verse 25, which we just read, Hebrews chapter 10, 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day draw near. I can't live without you. You can't live without me. We are the body, just as if my arms and my legs need to stick with this fat trunk because I am a body. And every one of us is important to each other. New believers, old believers, young, old, male, female, everybody is important. We need each other and we need to continue to meet together. That's the design that Jesus gave to us. Satan, our powerful enemy, is seeking to turn us away from Jesus, to turn us away from God, to turn us away from righteousness. He is determined to try to destroy us. And he doesn't do it in one big slam. He does it in little tiny baby steps. Just a little bit here, just a little bit there. It won't hurt you. God really doesn't know what he's talking about. Isn't that the way he works? Just one bite of the apple, it won't hurt. But it only took one disobedient act to separate Eve from God's blessing, and then Adam from God's blessings. And I don't think it was an apple. But it was disobedience. Pure and simple. God's love is so great that Jesus died for us while we are still sinners. That's pretty big love. If you knew that I was going to come up and hurt you, would you still love me? I don't know if I could hurt some of these guys. It looked pretty tough. But that's what Jesus did. The King of creation knew that we were going to offend Him, abuse our relationship with Him, disrespect Him, lie, cheat, steal, whatever. And yet He died for us. He paid the price so that we could come into the presence of the Father. Nothing can separate us from the love of God except for our own stubborn rebellion. God still loves us. He still paid for all of our sin. Will we be so obstinate and stupid to walk away and to abuse our relationship and to threaten our future that we say, well, a little bit won't hurt? Well, let's just put some poison in a glass. A little bit won't hurt, will it? Just take a little drink. That's what we're saying when we disobey God. Hold your confession of belief with determination. Find the joy in serving God faithfully. Don't do something you'll regret. Do you find joy in finding Jesus? Do you find joy in worshiping with others? In talking about the good things of God? I hope so. There's joy and blessing in lifting up your Redeemer. God is faithful to you, and He won't let you go. But don't find that you are letting go of Him yourself through neglect, through busyness, living in the world and of the world. In the parable of the sower and the soils, what was that third thing that kept the crop from becoming productive? Thistles and weeds choked out the produce that God wanted. Busyness of life. I don't have time, God. You'll have to wait till next year. That's not a good picture. All believers are commanded to stimulate fellow believers. What did you do this morning? Did you plan on coming up to somebody in the church family and saying, I'm going to just get their bubble going. I'm going to get their joy overflowing. I am going to spread the love of God on them so much they just won't know what to do with themselves. Or did you come to church saying, I wonder what I can get. I wonder who's going to talk to me. I wonder who's going to give to me. What can I get from church? What's our attitude in coming? Jesus came to serve. And we are called to what? Serve, to give, to lift up, to build up, encourage, uplift one another. Now, some of you like to do what I do sometimes, tease a little bit, pull somebody's string. And sometimes it's for the positive effect, but sometimes it can work to the negative. So I have to guard myself. And if I've offended any of you sometime when I'm pulling your string, I apologize. Let me know. But we need to be here to stimulate each other to faithfulness, to love, to good deeds. The regular gatherings of Christians in worship is vitally necessary for every one of us. Every meeting should be to help you and others. It's not just here for you. It's for all of us, that we can understand more, to mature, to withstand the temptations of Satan, the tricks that Satan uses on us. We need to develop our spiritual gifts, our attitude of serving one another for the glory of Jesus Christ. Be like a Mark Biddick. Mark Biddick, who is Mark Biddick? Most of you don't know Mark Biddick. I know Mark Biddick because he stood on my toe one time. Mark Biddick was in my school in Middleton, Idaho. He was 3 years older than me. He was in my sister's class. And Mark, I didn't really get to know him until he started making his name known in junior high. The wrestling coach saw Mark Biddick and encouraged him to go out for wrestling. Mark was a big boy, the biggest boy. And he filled out the heavyweight class in starting wrestling through all of high school. He wrestled, I believe it's a total of 110 times. He won 104 of those matches, tied 5, and only lost once. By his senior year, Mark stood 6'6" and weighed 340 pounds. Needless to say, when he came down the hallway, everybody got out of the way. He also played football. He was the center. And our team went to state for some reason. We had several plays centered around Mark. When he went running through a crowd, the crowd cleared out for some reason. The senior year of Mark, he won district, he won state, and then he went to the nationals and won a national title for freestyle wrestling. And then he went to Junior Olympics and wrestled people from all over the world and won first place in freestyle wrestling. 17 years old, 6'6", 340 pounds. And he said some of those guys had muscles in their ears. But he won. You're the child of God. The Creator's on your side. You think you're going to lose? No. Walk with the Creator wherever you go, on the streets, in your house, in your neighborhood. He'll take you to victory. You're the victor when you remain faithful with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We still have another point to do, and I've got 2 seconds. Avoid degrading God or Jesus Christ. Set your mind on never putting your living, loving Redeemer in second place. No sacrifice remains for those who continue in sin. That is serious. If you find yourself doing something you know God says is wrong, stop. Get back with the Lord. Verse 26 reminds us. Romans 6, 1 through 11 tells us, reminds us that our baptism into Christ was a death to sin and a resurrection to a new life, a new way of thinking. The Holy Spirit is given to us. He walks within us, and we are to be God's people, not people of the flesh. God's ways must have first place in our thoughts. Setting aside the Lord for something else is treading God underfoot. He's telling that, God, you're not important. I don't like you anymore. I'm going to do things my way. You're not wanted here. Well, that's serious business. That costs you eternity. That costs you your life. Intentionally ignoring a church gathering is setting aside the body of Christ and telling the Lord, you're not important. Choosing a function of the world over a gathering of the spiritual family is telling God, nope, you're not good enough. You're not important to me. And in the text, the writer says, we're calling God unclean. That's serious. That's verse 29. Don't call God unclean. He is pure and holy. You're the one that's unclean. Neglecting church gatherings insults God's Spirit within you. The Spirit wants to be united with the family of God. And you're saying, no, you can't go to church today. I'm going to keep you at home so I can watch Roy Rogers or some sci-fi movie or how to make new brownies another way. I don't know what you do when you neglect God. But that's serious. It insults the Spirit of God within you. The Holy Spirit was God's gift to you as you submitted to the Lord Jesus. He is into you to help you and to guide you, to motivate you, to give you the strength. How many of you are hurting right now? My hips are hurting me. But we're here. Now, unless you have some contagious disease, I want to encourage you, meet with the family. We need each other. Jesus says we need each other. The Spirit can leave you. And if you lose God's Spirit, what do you have left? Nothing. Jesus gave His whole life for you, knowing that you would break His heart many times through sin. But He has enabled you, empowered you through His Spirit, through His sacrifice, to become children of God. Remember who you belong to. Summertime and any time can become extremely overscheduled. You must determine to keep the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and the family of God in first place. Now, sometimes, I know, work situations say, you got to work today or else. And I always try to say, encourage people, if you can, find a different job that doesn't work. You don't have to do that. But it doesn't always work. Working on the farm, there's work 24/7, 365. I know. I spent my first 20, 25 years doing that. But there's still time for God when you make it. I know some farmers who refuse to work on Sundays, even in the middle of harvest, because they love God more. We must determine whether or not God is really going to be first place. God gave each one of us 168 hours each week to honor Him and to take care of life's necessities. If you were to attend Sunday school worship and Sunday evening service, which we do not have, by the way, all of you know that, and one Sunday gathering through the week, say a maximum of 6 hours, that is only 3.5% of your time. 3.5%. And how many hours did God give you? 100%. And you're saying, God, I only have time for 3.5% for you. If you added 1 hour per day for study, prayer, calling, encouraging others, writing letters, whatever you do, you still are only at 8% of your time. Summers are God's too. Please don't neglect God. God gave you everything, including every hour you live. So if you're going to get legalistic about it and say, I need to give 5% of my time, let's see, how many minutes is that? That's not what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul again tells us in Romans chapter 12, be God's all of the time. In whatever you do, whatever you think, in every action. You may be out there driving on the road. Think about godly things. Pray for that guy that just almost ran you off the road. Respond to people kindly. Be nice to the waitresses and waiters. Love all the time. God loves you. But don't forget the family. We need each other. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for loving us, for constantly taking care of us, providing for us even before we have the need. And thank you for the promise of eternity. Let us always honor you. Help us to encourage each other when others are weak, when others are failing. Help us to reach out, to minister to each other, to uplift one another, to encourage one another with your love and your grace, which you have given to us. Be with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.